Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to another week of empowerment. It is the Empowerment Show. The Empowerment Network is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Marvin Rohn coming along with my main man, Stan Macklin, as my co-host today. We're coming to you live and in color. We got to get this thing right today. So we're going to have a conversation about African-American culture, African-American history. We're going to dialogue today because the question is going to be what white people need to know. And I want to start by saying this has nothing at all to do with racism or anything like that, but it's a purely African-American perspective. It's a conversation that we need to have in terms of what white people need to know. And if we can share that, then maybe we can broaden their perspective. And so I just want to break this conversation in with over the past few weeks, videos have been shared about white people just being blatantly disrespectful, demonstrating their white privilege, calling the police on African Americans for just simple things that, and then how the police interact with our people once they're called. And so having people to be engaged in gyms and asking them why they're there and stuff like that. And that just doesn't happen to other people. So we're going to have a dialogue today about that. First, though, we need to talk about the NAAEA. What's that all about? Commission of African American Empowerment Association, the National African American Empowerment Association, is to ensure that the needs of the African-American community is met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our people. That's right, our people, to become the best people that we can be. So that's political, that's economic, that's athletic, which is health, fitness, wellness, and nutrition, culture, and education. And so if you would, go out to the website, www.naaea.weebly.com. Check out the services that we want to provide for our community and that we are providing. And also we have a membership page. Join and be a part of this national movement to motivate, inspire, and empower our people. I'm bringing in right now live my good friend and co-host, Stan Macklin. Stan, are you available?
I'm here, my brother. Hey. Show, Empowerment 360. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're cranking it up today. So the question is, Stan, what white people need to know? What do you think? We're talking about. Go ahead.
There's so many things that they need to know. Number one, they need to know that we don't all look alike. And that's the reason why there's a lot of stereotyping going on, because they think we all look alike. And we don't. We don't all look alike. You know, we come in all beautiful shades, you know, light, brown, black, jet black, you know, high yellow, all kinds of color. We're beautiful people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand that we have different cultural backgrounds because
mm-hmm.
of a lot of because of the environments we were raised in. Our worldviews has all been shaped differently. There's some commonalities in it. Commonalities, yes, but you can't put us all in the same bucket. You can't do that. And
can't
you have
do
to treat us first and foremost as individuals. You have to do that. You have to do that. Just because you had a bad encounter with a person of color, primarily African American, you want to lump everybody into the same boat. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. So those are just a couple of things off the top of my head that people need to understand about cultural differences.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to understand that since we've been here, we know that racism and race has been an issue with our people. And the impact that it has really been profound in terms of how we react, right, how we've been treated by the police, and even how we perceive ourselves. Mm. And so today the conversation, because we're going to open up the lines, the number to call if you want to join us in the conversation is 845-277-9250. So let's go to the callers. The board is booked again. So let's go to 9282. Get ready. We're moving. We're coming to you live. Welcome to the Empowerment Show. Marvin Rowan and your co-host Stan Macklin. What do you have for us today?
Good afternoon, brothers.
Hey.
Good afternoon. Pardon listening to you. Hope y'all are well.
All is well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. I a brief question that Stan raised just now for me. A question I would ask is, what's wrong with all of us looking alike? You know, what's wrong with all of us being of one mind? What's wrong? You know, I want my son to look like me, my daughter to look like me, my nephews, my nieces, and everybody. What's wrong with all of us looking alike? You know, that's a beautiful thing. See, that's the thing they created in our minds, that the stereotype, all y'all all look alike. You know, that's just all y'all just look just alike. Well, no, isn't that what supposedly, if you into the Christian thing, religion thing, ain't that what you want to be? You want to be one with God, one with Christ, one in one mind, that we all one. You know, it's when we start to get too individualized, we become divided. You know, we need to be a one mindset, because we are one family. We are one with God. So should be. So I don't see the stereotype. It's like Red Fox said, and Stan hit on it a little bit. Red Fox said, white folks, y'all all say that we look alike. It ain't us that look alike. It's y'all that look alike. All y'all just white. You know, we like bright, damn near white. You know, but that's a good thing to be that we alike. That's family. You know, that's family.
Let me ask you a question, brother. What, in your opinion only, do white people need to know? What would you tell them?
Well, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think our disadvantage is they know what we know not. And they already know. See, they know who we are, and they know who they are, where we don't know who we are. And we don't know who they are, and that's one of their major advantages. I think it's more or less what they don't want us to know. You know, basic, but what they need to know. Now they, as they say, knowledge is power. The understanding that knowledge and wisdom is power. They're in that power position. They're in that knowledgeable position. They control the knowledge. What we don't know, you know, which put us at a disadvantage because we lack the knowledge. And the thing about knowledge is, and this, well, I'll say this, maybe what they don't know. I'm gonna give them benefit of the doubt and say maybe they do not know this. But knowledge is supposed to be passed on. As an old man told me one time, he who obtains knowledge and keeps it to him or herself has not obtained any knowledge. Knowledge itself dictates that you pass it on. That's knowledge. If you hoard the knowledge, if you just grab the knowledge and then try to put yourself in a more powerful position because of things you know that we don't know, then that's, one, you're not understanding knowledge.
Okay.
And secondly, I would say that I would even call that evil. Because I know things, you know, if I know things and the things I know will make you a better person and will make the world a better person, but I don't share those things with you because I want to keep you down, I want to keep you ignorant and under my control, again, that's not understanding knowledge, and that's a reflection to me, of my humble opinion, of being evil.
All right. Well, hold tight, Brother Stan. What you got? That's a lot.
Well, I'm digesting because I shift a little bit, you know, from the standpoint that I used to you know, think that all Asians look alike, but they don't. They have their individuality and they have their differences in the midst of it. And society has a way of classifying us all as the same. Mass incarceration. We looked upon first as a criminal, and secondly as a sports maniac, and then thirdly as a comedian. Hmm. Lastly, serious. You know, why can we be serious first? You know, and so, that's the way society operates. And of course, there's been a lot of dynamics to shape it like that way. But I like individuality. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, I know that unity doesn't have to be uniformity.
All right. That's true. Hey, brother, let me ask you. You gave us 5 last week. Well, you gave us 4, and then we added divided. Can you give me that again, those 5 things?
Oh, yeah.
The D's.
Oh, yeah. First of all, they try to discourage you. These are what the forces do, try to discourage you. And then if they can't, you know, after don't work there with discourage you, then they move to the next level after discouragement is to my mind went blank.
We can always come back to it. We could just start right there with discouragement. I know you're gonna come back to it. Yeah, that was divide, right? And so the brother talked about dividing, and in a previous conversation, another brother talked about a collective consciousness, right? And so this collective consciousness that we need doesn't have to be that we all look alike, but the question today is, without being divided or without being kind of jaded, what do white people need to know? Let's go back to the line. I'm sure you're going to come up with that piece later on because we got a lot of time today. All right, here we go. I'm going to 9016. We're coming to you live. Welcome to the Empowerment Show. Marvin Rohn, Stan Macklin. Talk to me, caller. 9016, you're live on the line. 9016, going once.
Yes.
Going
hello.
Twice. All right,
hi,
come on
Marvin.
Now. Hey,
hi,
caller, hey.
How y'all doing today?
We doing good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just want to throw in a spiritual part of this differences.
Okay.
The spiritual part, I think about that when I hear what do they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
On the spiritual side, they need to know that God ain't going to have all this mess in heaven, number one. Spiritually, they need to know that.
That's right.
If you can't get along here in this earth and don't want to be separated and want to be distant from colors, people of color, so then you can don't even think about having a place in heaven because they're not going to have that. God not going to have that in heaven. So
mm-hmm.
I just want them to know that it's no different between, as the Bible says, as Paul said, there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles now. No difference. So God
mm-hmm.
don't make no difference up in heaven. And I just want them to take it and notice. I'm quite sure they have an interest in heaven. I don't know for sure. I thought maybe they would because it's not all people are not bad. All people of color is not bad. We got some good
mm-hmm.
people. We got some bad people. We got some indifferent people. We got some unrighteous people. So we got all different kind of people in color. So
mm-hmm.
I just want them to know that if they think, just think on the spiritual side, because you're not going to stay down here in the earth forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever you will not stay here. We're going to get another place that is in heaven, eternal life, and we have to get that indifference thing straightened out down here on the earth right now. Before you get to heaven, you cannot go to heaven with all that foolishness. So I just want to share throw it out there. That's what they need to know. Get in a spiritual mind because you're not going to stay here on this earth long. Yeah, forever.
All right.
That's all. That's the point I want to make. They need to know that. That they're not, God not going to have that foolishness of we don't want to be bothered with people of color. Color. Because there ain't going to be no white, there ain't going to be no black, ain't going to be all that color racial thing up in heaven. That's what they need to know.
All right.
What you say,
all right.
What you say,
that's the spiritual side. All right. Thank you. Thank you. We got it from the spiritual side today, Stan. Are we going to another caller? Let's go to 4756. 4756, we're coming to you live. Marvin Rona, Stan Mack, and welcome to the Empowerment Show. Are you there, ready for conversation? Welcome
to
the Empowerment
Network. I'm here.
Hey.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to me.
I was looking at your title, and I don't think there's anything we can tell whites that they don't already know. I mean, they control the planet, so they know everything. They are the experts in racism, you see, because those who practice racism are the true experts. Secondly, I want to say that I don't know about this heaven because I know my ancestors who were enslaved, if them white people who mistreated them were in heaven, there'd be some fighting going on up in heaven.
I really don't
know about that. And the third thing is, it's time for white people to cut a deal with African people worldwide. Cut a deal. What is it you want, white folks? Let us go. Because the issue is, do you want to let us go, or do you need somebody or some people to exploit because you benefit from that? So cut a deal. Let's cut a deal. Are you afraid of genetic annihilation? Do you want us to stop mixing with your children? I mean, what is it?
Now, when you talk about cut a deal, you're talking about reparations?
Wait, say it again, sir?
When you talk about cut a deal, you're talking about reparations, or be a little bit more specific?
Eliminate all boundaries and barriers for black people to be full, competitive human beings. I'm not even in this situation asking them to give us anything but to just walk away. The African continent is the prize on the planet.
Yeah.
It's the richest piece of real estate on the planet.
Amen.
Okay. And black people in America provide a floor for white people to exploit all kind of ways we exploit it. They benefit from this. So when I say cut a deal, what is it you want? Because I have the feeling that if for some reason all black people wanted to go to Africa, they wouldn't even allow it. They wouldn't even allow it. Just like in the Bible, when the Pharaoh wouldn't let the children of Israel leave, he had to go after them.
Let my people go. All right. Hold tight, caller. We're going to move on down the line. I appreciate that. That's some food for thought. Let's see what else the callers have to say. I'm going to 7974, coming to you live, 7974. Are you available for conversation? Welcome to the Empowerment Network, 7974.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes. You're live.
Okay. So I think what I was just going to say is that I think for white people, I do agree with the other caller that I don't necessarily know that it's stuff that white people don't know, but I do think there is a spectrum. I mean, because we have people coming into this world daily, and so I do think generationally there are things they do need to know. One, to me, that I see a lot in working in higher education is that colorblindness is not going to end racism. So just because people are pretending that race doesn't exist, you know, isn't the same as creating anti-racist policies and practices. And I think to the other caller's point, I think part of it is that we've sort of equated racism to be something active that you're doing. So we have these sort of large narratives around KKK and police brutality, but racism is monotonous and it's systematic. So just because someone's not actively doing something, you're still benefiting by the passive systems that exist to perpetuate racism. So I think if more white people understood that just because you're not calling me a nigger, which is really individual and not systematic, that you're still part of the problem. And so if you're not actively doing something to disrupt that system and dismantle that system that's still, you know, oppressing people, then you still have work to do. And so just having the lack of being actively racist doesn't mean that you don't benefit from a racist system, and you continue to perpetuate it in your silence or in your mediocre voice. So either one of those, I think, again, if you're not actively doing something to dismantle the system, I think a lot of white people think that they're not part of the system or part of the problem.
All right. All right. So we're talking about a new deal here. And the brother said, experts in racism, experts in racism. Thank you for your call. Hey, hold on tight. We're coming back to you, okay? All right, going down the line. What you got, Stan? Anything you want to share before we move on? Let's go over to 4358. 4358, you coming in live on the Empowerment Network. Talk to me, Carla.
Yeah, peace, brother. I don't have anything to say as far as that goes. I'm learning today, so
okay.
I'll just hear what everyone else has to say today.
Okay, so but here's the question, right? Just from your perspective only, what do you think white people need to know?
Malcolm told him.
Nothing.
The white lady walked up to him and said, "What can I do to help y'all with your cause?" And he said, "Nothing." And I'm learning, because maybe, you know, it's somebody that could say something that will, you know, change my position, that I need to say something to white people. I think that I primarily need to keep working on my own people and keep working on. You know, creating a positive environment around what we're trying to do.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. All right, we'll come back to you and see if you got anything later on in the show. Thank you, brother. We're going to 0946. Okay. 0946.
Yes,
are you there?
Good afternoon.
Hey.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in live.
All right. That question, what white people need to know, I think they need to know that as black people, we're not responsible for their black construct of who they believe we are. I don't need to defend, explain. It's their stuff. They created this. They created that we're inferior. They created all this nonsense. So what I've done as a part of, so that I don't have to emotionally labor when I'm speaking with white folks about issues around anti-blackness or racism, is own it. You're the one that's racist, because a racist, I can't be a racist because I don't have the power. I can be prejudiced, but a racist is prejudice plus power. And so they need to own that they're racist, but that's the one thing that they will not do. The first thing they'll say is, "I'm not a racist." Yes, you're racist because you benefit from this system because of your race. So white privilege means you are racist. Now, you might be a racist in recovery, but you are a racist, and it's so hard for them to own that. They'll come up with implicit bias. They'll come up with, I don't know, I think it was someone black that came up with black white privilege, but they'll use, like, white privilege, unconscious racism, everything but what they are. You're a racist because you benefit from the system. So that's what they need to know, that they're racist.
Wow.
That's my comment.
I heard that. Okay, thank you. Stan, what you got?
Well, you know, indoctrination. Let's put this out on the table. is indoctrination just limited to certain groups of people? We know we live in a racist society. This country was established as a white society, and we've been indoctrinated in it.
Well, the brother said, "Let our
Hello?
People go." Let's go back to 4756. 4756, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're having a conversation, right? What do you picked up so far? We going around the cycle. What you got in response to what you heard so far?
Well, I think the title of the show is kind of, it should be, what do black people need to know? Well, white people are in the world is not by accident or coincidence. It's very planned. So they know. And so there is no, it's a futile to try to get into some moralizing with them to understand our plight and what we've been through, because they know, they benefit from it. So their job is to maintain their privileged position. And in the process of maintaining their privileged position, they use deception. And one deceptive way is to pretend like you're ignorant of what's going on. So it's what we need to know. We need to understand how deceptive this group of people collectively is. Okay? And so their situation in the world, because this is a global thing. This is not just a United States thing. This is a global thing.
Right.
Their position in the world is not by accident. It's planned. When you can say that even in Africa, white people are on top and black people at the bottom, even if you can go to the Pacific realm, Australia, and say the same thing, then you know this is not by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
When they watched for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, this man literally about the business of murdering, killing, and brought to death George Floyd, they said amongst themselves, a lot of them did, and I even saw Rush Limbaugh. He came on the Breakfast Club and said, enough is enough. Now, anybody who knows who he is, that's definitely an eye-opener. I think that they know, but they don't all know to the extent like they saw what they saw with the killing of and murder and execution of George Floyd.
Well, let me say this. They are the masters of deception, and they realize that they have to come up with a script. They all know that calling somebody a thug plays out at a certain point. So they all have to pretend, because watch this. At the same time they pretend like they're so sorry what happened, they still come back and question the man's background. So in other words, they still calling them a thug, but they're not outright saying it this time.
Uh-huh.
You see? So they create scripts. Uh-huh. They create common. They have a code among themselves. White people have a code. They know how to act towards black people when certain things happen, and that's something we don't understand. See, we think they're just individuals roaming around, because that's what we try to live like that. We try to be individuals where we don't have to work with nobody. But these white people all hooked up. You go to Zimbabwe when Mugabe rightfully took the land back from the white farmers, and look what the United States and Europe have still today have sanctions against Zimbabwe. They have a united code with each other around the planet.
Hmm. The brother said, "United Code." I'm going to stay right there, brother. I'm going to 9282. He said, "What black people need to know." Come on, talk to me, caller. I'm keeping you on the line, brother, and I'm bringing 9282 in. Come on, talk to me, brother.
It just hit me what white folks need to know. White folks need to know that we're not taking this anymore. That's what white folks need to know. The message we need to get white folks is that we're not taking this anymore. That's the message white folks need. And that's going to be a hard one to get because, as a brother said last week, young brother said last week, we so divided amongst ourselves. We can't get together and discuss something without if we're going to have religious differences. We're going to have age differences. We're going to have gender differences. It's going to come up in the conversation. We as a people got to realize we are one. We are one. And we got to stop letting things divide us and really come together and send white folks a message that we're not taking this anymore. Sister mentioned earlier that it ain't going to be this way in heaven. Well, from a white man perspective, didn't the devil say he'd rather rule in hell to serve in heaven.
All right,
so,
all right.
And there was an old song, too, that said a white man's heaven is a black man's hell.
Wow. Mm. All
you
right.
Know, so that's that. You know, that's what we got to look at, and as the brother said, we need to focus on us and get ourselves
that.
Together.
All right. What you got, Stan?
This is all good. It's all good, my brother. I'm just still digesting the indoctrination because I know that that indoctrination is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to, my main thing, big thing is we got to have institutions that define our own reality. We have to. It makes a difference.
All right.
Instead of quick trying
true.
Trying to fit in to get in.
True. 7974, coming back to you. What black people need to know. Now, we got a whole lot that we've talked about so far. We talked about systems, and we talked about that spectrum. 7974, you're live. What you got?
I'm sorry. I said, Doris, I missed some of it. But in terms of what black people need to know, I don't, again, really know that I think that – I think a lot of what black people need to know is deconstructing the stereotypes and other things they've been told about themselves. So I think we think we know some stuff that we really don't know. And so for me, how do we deconstruct these systems? How do we deconstruct how we've been taught to love ourselves, how we've been taught to think about what's beautiful and what's not beautiful? So I really think a lot of what black people need to know is a lot of the things, you know, from this white supremacy colonialistic society don't apply to them and were never meant to apply to them, the standards that, you know, we are set up around. So, again, I think for black people, it's really deconstructing these notions, even as deep as colorism and as in terms of, again, how we love ourselves, how we love our families, all of those types of things. But I think for me, the idea is that black people need to unpack a lot of this ugliness we've been taught to hate about ourselves.
That's true. That's true. Thank you. Hold tight. We'll try to come back to you later on in the show. Stan, what you got? It's a lot going on today. We're deconstructing from what white people need to know to what black people need to know. And the brother made some really valid points about some codes that they have and the deception, and it's on a global level. The other brother came back and said that they know. And so if they know, what is going to be the plan and the strategy? The brother said, let my people go. Are you there, Stanley?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm listening. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
All right.
I mean,
Let's go back to the spiritual perspective and see what we got. Spiritual perspective. Coming back to you. You live.
Okay. I'm just going to tap in for 1 minute to let you know I heard a brother say about the white heaven. But see, I'm looking at the black perspective. There's not going to be no white heaven or black heaven. It's going to be heaven. There's not going to be no difference.
Right,
I said that earlier. There's not going to be no difference. Because
his point was that
we were always taught about the blue eyes, the blonde hair, eyes, white Jesus. So if we think as black people, that our Jesus we've been serving and God we've been serving all this time before our people came from Africa, we should know what heaven going to be like. It's not going to be yellow and white, all white. The only white that's going to be there is our pureness that God would have us to have, the pureness of the white robes we all going to wear. And if you don't have, if you got any spots and blemish on that robe, you might well forget about being there. That's my thing. That's my end.
All right.
That's the end of what
Thank
I have
you.
To say spiritually. Okay?
All right. Thank
have
you.
Have a blessed day.
All right. There it is. All right, we're going to 0946, 0946. We're jumping in. What you got?
Well, I think that some of our energy is that we do kind of put a lot of emphasis, not maybe a lot, but more emphasis on the afterlife than the life right now. Right now, we need to get along right now. And so I don't want to be justified or feel like I have that I'm getting some type of revenge because maybe the white people won't be in heaven, you know, because nobody's been, nobody's come back to tell us about heaven. I'm talking about in our personal human lives. So we all have a belief, and that's okay. What we believe about that, but my reality that I can control right now is really the most important thing to me. And I like what the brother was saying is that, you know, when we say enough is enough, we have to be able to qualify that. I think enough is enough right now is a bluff. Because when you say enough is enough, when it go down one more time, then there is a reaction, there's a response, there's something. I think we are crying out in desperation when we say enough is enough, and people still keep getting killed. People, you know, police still keep killing folks, and we started saying enough is enough. So I think that we're exhausted, we're tired. And I think it's important that I feel like, you know, our backs are being backed up against the wall, and which is a good thing because it forces us sometimes to look at something that we're unwilling to look at. So like once our backs are so up against the wall, we may perhaps get a clearer view of what actually is happening because we ain't got nowhere to go. We got to come out that corner. So that's my comment.
All right. Thank you. Stan, you got anything you want to add to that?
Well, you got to have a balance. Even Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. So there's the reality of the heavens, and then there's the reality which we live is what the sisters is explaining about where we're at now on earth, about now. And there can be a tendency where we focus our attention on the yet to come. We're to have dominion on this earth down here.
Mm-hmm.
And all it really goes on to say that somewhere along the line, we've lost that. We've lost that.
Well, I think they're practicing dominion, actually. When you think about the tactics that the brother talked about earlier, I think it is. Let's slide on over to 4358. 4358, we're coming to you live. What you got for us now? What black people need to know?
Oh, with what black people need to know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, based on what black people need to know, we need to know that we're not all the same, and that our organizations don't even have to be the same. We don't even have to believe this in the same God. But that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, continue to build on what we're building on. For example, if I'm building a Muslim mosque congregation and another brother's building a Christian organization with the church, that don't mean we can't work together and as black people and support each other's efforts. That has those two things do not have anything to do with the ability to be in a collective consciousness. They don't, you know, and I think that that's where something that I don't think we do know that well, that we don't have to be nationalists and integrationalists can get along together. You know, it's like just because you have a different thought about how things should be done in the world, that does not mean that you can't support each other in what it is that you're, you know, attempting to do, especially with, because the main thing we're talking about is economics. And so if one organization decides to invest in supermarkets and another organization decides to invest in a department, clothing department store, we can support both of them. And if another organization decides they want to open up a restaurant, we can go in there and buy food from them. You know,
right,
it's like,
right.
That's what white folks do. They work collectively. You know, when you go to the malls, just about every single store that's in that mall, if not all of them, are owned by some white folks, because they get together. They decide we're going to have Macy's, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. And then we go run and shop at their stores and spend all of our money that we earn from them and give it right back to them, and then turn around and complain about how much we're not building. You know, as though we're incapable of doing anything right. You know, I just don't like that kind of consciousness that is something wrong with us, like we're defective or something. You know, and like I said in the interview, you know, we have to learn to be excited again about the accomplishments of our ancestors and the things that they laid in place for us to use as building blocks if we ever got into a predicament like that and we're not using them.
Well, let's go a little deeper into the collective consciousness. Can you define that for the listener?
Well, a collective consciousness is when, is basically when we get back to, it's going to take time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But collective consciousness, for example, in the society that we live in, when our children are sent to school, they learn about George Washington, they learn about Abraham Lincoln, they learn about, they might even learn about Andrew Jackson. We learn about an assortment of different things that are pertinent to the experience of the European in this land, or either in Europe. And so we learn everything from someone else's perspective. And so when we're asked about different information about things that we've learned in school, then we're able to recite, you know, the Civil War, and the Civil War was fought between the North and the South, the Confederates and the Union. And we know about the Revolutionary War and all of that. And the reason why is because we have been trained into a collective consciousness that's a part of their world. And so as you see that the world that they built is beginning to crumble, because what they looked upon as being their heroes, their greatness, it's people that's coming now and saying them people was not great. And the reason why is because they weren't great to us. They weren't heroes to us. They were pedophiles to our young little girls when those rapists would rape our children at 9 and 10 years old as slave masters and impregnate them at 11 and 12 years old. That's not a hero, but we were forced to see them as heroes because that's the collective consciousness of whites. And it's like the sister said earlier when she was talking about their cognitive dissonance, when they just can't see themselves as anything except good. You know, we're good. We're helping Black Lives Matter, so we're good. And we end up in the same predicament each time. because we don't have like a goal of our own of achievement, which is the collective consciousness getting together. Like, you know, when you have a yearly get together with influential people throughout the country, that's African Americans, and we say this is the goal, this is what we want to try to set up. Like Claude Anderson was trying to do it one time. He was trying to set up a series of restaurants. That was a chain of restaurants that we could invest in, and we could open up this chain and create job opportunities and create a lot of different things for our people through his plan. So he was going around the country and speaking to different people at the churches about his plan to try to put them in a mindset of, yeah, that's an excellent plan, and we could do it across the country.
All right. So it's about, is this collective consciousness? Okay, I'm going over to 4756. Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what are your thoughts on the collective consciousness?
Well, I think the brother did a good job of illustrating, you know, what that is. I wanted to make reference to one of the other brothers was saying one of the things white people got to know is we tired, we ain't taking this stuff no more. But see, what black people need to know that white people already know that we've been saying that a long time ago. We heard that slogan in the 60s and the 70s. I'm tired, I ain't taking this no more. Okay, and another thing we need to understand, because what has happened over the last couple of years, there's been this whole industry of book publishing on anti-racism, and there are some terms that have been created, white privilege and white fragility. Throw all that out the window. We had people that already come and told us what the issues are with words. White privilege is predicated upon white power. Power accords privileges. So white power gives privileges to whites, and some black people have privileges too that white people are called, white power accorded to. So we're dealing with white power, not white privilege, white power. That's why Dr. Amos Wilson wrote his last book, Blueprints for Black Power. Okay? And so we've had people, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Francis Cress Wilson, they have come and they have analyzed this stuff, and they've given us tools and words, Neely Fuller, to be able to assess this. This new anti-racism industry that's coming out is just a continuation of using black people's experience to make money for another group of people. And so we've had people that have come among us, lived among us, who have left a body of work that we are not exploiting in a positive way to develop a plan. Chancellor Williams had a plan at the end of his book, The Destruction of Black Civilization. A Blueprint for Black Power by Amos Wilson left a plan. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, a plan. Okay, so the work is done as it relates to the empirical studies and the theoretical. That's done. We have to just implement this stuff.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So we have to, and as part of the peace concept, that's the education piece, right? So it's not only the miseducation, but the re-education and then the reintegration into this society, though, that we can be more effective. 9282, what you got? The brother brought some good points out. I'm going to keep him on. And 9282, what you got?
I'll just say, what we as black folk need to understand, we need to realize, is that on January the 1st, 1863, when our ancestors walked off of the plantations, they were not the same people that were taken into the plantation some 300 years before. Okay? We say, we like to say that we were kings and queens, okay? That we were the original people on the planet. Okay, those people went into slavery. Those weren't the people that came out of slavery. Okay, they also say that before we went into slavery, we were not Christians, okay? That we, in fact, were Muslims, regardless of whatever you Christian, you know, Muslim, whatever. But they said if folk that went into slavery were not Christians, we became Christians on the plantation, okay? Prior to that, we were Muslims, so they say. I wasn't there. I don't know for sure what we were. But if, in fact, that was true, then we turned. We lost the knowledge of our God, of our people, and who we really were. And that's what slavery was all about, to destroy us as a people. So when we walked off that plantation on January 1, 1863, there were three categories of folk that walked off that plantation. And I'm going to try to be nice here. That were field niggers, house niggers, and militant niggers. And we've been divided ever since. And the battle between the house niggers and the field and the militant niggers was for control over the house niggers, which was the majority of niggers. I mean, field niggers, excuse me. Okay? Those field niggers became project niggers, your hood niggers. Public housing, all that. The house niggers became doctors, lawyers, nurses, educators, and so forth. I'm just keeping it real. Okay, the militant niggers were the ones that what we call the separatists, the ones that want to separate, that we need to understand. If you were truly free when you were freed, when he freed us on January 1st, 1863, we would have left the damn country. Send me back to where you brought me from. Not integrate me into this mess that we done created, because we lost our minds, brother. And sisters, they destroyed our, slavery destroyed our minds, destroyed us as a people. And now we're trying to deal with black problems with a white mind. That's that consciousness. See, everything we try to dig inside ourselves, that's what I said a couple of weeks ago. If we become mayor, we're going to function just like white folk when they become mayor. If we become governor, we're going to function like white folk when they become governor. Because that's all we know. We're in their mindset, that one consciousness, that's one mind. We got to get out of that. And there's the books in the Bible that say, come out of her, my people, so you not be partakers of her sin. We got to get that. See, I said something today when I wrote, I'm going to post on Facebook tomorrow. I said, I know the nigger in me. Now I'm trying to find the God in me. And that nigger in me was put in me and my people on the plantation. I know it's there. I know the nigger in me. I know how niggers act. I know how niggers supposed to act. Same way that nigger been put in me, I got to put that nigger out of me and bring forth the God in me. And we need to become ourselves, folks, all the time. If you find the God in you, brother, and I find the God in me, we will find each other.
Wow.
That's what we
That's
need
real
to do.
Talk.
We can't solve his our problems with his mind. We can't come up with economic solutions, because he done taught us all about the economy. It's his economy. It's this scarcity, capitalistic society, you know. And in that society, you're going to have rich people, you're going to have poor people. The society, it cannot function without that. You're going to have haves, you're going to have have-nots. So we got to come out of that system and come up with other ideas, other ways. But I'm saying we got to get his mind out of our mind to do it, because all we're going to do is
all
come
right.
up with his solutions. Thank you, brother.
Hey, all right, these are some really powerful things to think about. Now, I must say that we all have different perspectives and viewpoints and lenses that we're coming from. And the good thing about having a conversation at home, sitting around the table, is we can talk about it, right? So everybody has a lens. Everybody has a perspective. I'm loving this conversation. I got a new person on the board, 7244. We're coming to you live. 7244, welcome to the Empowerment Show. What you got for us today?
Hotel Peace and Black Power. I'm going to greet everyone in the African greeting, the African term of Hotel. And
Hotel.
You know, it's very it's a pleasure to be here, brother. powerful words. I just jumped on. Sorry, I'm kind of late in attendance, but I just jumped on. I heard very powerful words of the brother that was lastly speaking, and I 100% agree with him on his ideas that he's bringing forward. And you know, I think it's very important. I'm going to share with you and the family real quickly, and it kind of I shared this post maybe about it's probably like 5 minutes ago. So I question. So the question is, might this be the reason we fall short when we're looking at oppressors attacking us? You know, what should we think? Do our cultures reflect our ancestors' values or that of the oppressors? We have to be honest. We have to be honest. Even I grew up in the church. You understand? I grew up in the church. And for a long time, as I was in the church, I would see a picture of a white Jesus. Everybody did. You understand? You're not absent. If you grew up here in America and also in the world, you see the picture of a white Jesus. And I'm not spitting or, you know, down talking anybody's religion. But I think it's a thing that forces us. You know, I think we have to be adult. We have to be adult and asking the questions, because I prayed. I prayed to Jesus for a long time. I know plenty of folks that pray to Jesus today, black folks. My grandmother went to church. Mind you, black people would go to church and give far more than white people did, because white people had more money to spend. So I would see my grandmother give her last to put into the collection plate. But to say, in the reality, even understanding who we pray to or how we pray, we must understand here in 2020, if we're still begging the oppressor, the white man that has been killing us, that hey, stop killing us, we must question our prayers. We must question how we pray or who we are praying to. And when we go, I know when I go back, when I go to the church that I came up in, and I look in the back of the pulpit behind that great, strong black preacher, there's a picture of a white European Jesus. This is 100%. So when we look at this, we look at how your enemy has become your deity. Your enemy has become your deity. This is 100%. So this is, you know, we're still looking at the remnants of slavery that are only beneficial to the European. Because even while, now I'm not a proponent or a person that will promote this, but, you know, you hear some people that will say, while we're trying to discuss police injustices, they'll say, well, hey, black people kill each other. And right.
True.
And at that time, I don't agree with that, because we're not talking about black folk killing each other. We're talking about the injustices done via the white man too. But when we come back home, we do need to talk about how we treat each other. That's 100%. But we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that and bring you down publicly. We need to handle these situations if we really care in our communities. Everybody's ready to go vote. Everybody's ready to get up and go vote. No, you need to be going to the poll in your own local community, basically just to show your participation. What happens if everybody on all of our blocks start to come out to make sure that the children were acting in accordance, to make sure that there were standards set for their community? We wait for the European to come in and do this, and we see what happens when he comes in. So I think these situations are basically pressing us. And mind you, our black African people, I heard the brother speaking about, you know, the terrible voyage that we've been on, the mission, the disastrous journey that we've been on. We've been robbed, we've been slaves. But guess what? We came from a place where we ran civilizations for thousands of years. But the reality is that our children, they don't know anything about that, right? They don't. They don't know who Imhotep was. They don't know that the first book in the world history comes from Kemet or comes from Egypt. You have a lot of people that want to talk, fight against. This is crazy. This is a place where the Creator bestowed an almighty will to our people to be able to work together. Now, we weren't perfect, but we were able to sustain a civilization for thousands of years. And in that, you still can go back and see what our ancestors, like, you can go touch on it. You understand? So even when a lot of us are, and like I said, I'm not taking shots at anybody. I love all of my people. But when we are actually, we got a portion of our people that are actually waiting on a white man with long, straight hair, blue eyes to come down, drop down out of the sky, and save them from another white man. This is the constant perpetuation of the slave mentality that the European favors. He loves it, and, you know, we have to change it.
All right. We're going to have to end it on that, brother. Powerful food for thought. You're going to have to play this one back and really listen. It's time for us to not just take a position, but to really listen. Until next week, people, we'll talk to you. Stan, thank you very much. All the callers, thank you very much. Next week, it's Empowerment Network. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, everybody. Peace and blessings.